Frank DeFord is one of our favorites here on the Roundtable. I had a terrific weekend reading his new book, Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer. It is as wide-ranging as his remarkable career. After joining Sports Illustrated in 1962, Frank has been America's leading chronicler of sports heroes and characters. He's been named National Sports Writer of the Year six times. In the new book, DeFord traces the entire arc of American sports writing from the lurid early days of the Police Gazette to ESPN. He's a senior contributing editor at Sports Illustrated, a weekly commentator on NPR's Morning Edition, and a correspondent on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. It's a great pleasure to welcome Frank DeFord back to the Roundtable. Frank, good to have you aboard, my friend.
It's very, very nice to be back on the Roundtable.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. You know, there are many of us who enjoy just reading great writing and great sports writing, and who believe that you're the absolute best at what you do. And this book is fascinating because it brings us behind the scenes and gives us a sense of how your industry has changed. The subtitle of the book is My Life as a Sports Writer. Did you always have that passion to be a sports writer?
No, that's the funny thing. I just wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a little boy, and I really fell into sports writing when I got a chance to go to New York, which is where I wanted to go. And I love Sports Illustrated. I mean, I like sports, love sports like a lot of people, but I thought the writing was really terrific in that, and I got a chance to go there on the lowest rung as a researcher, and all of a sudden I found myself a sports writer.
When people make like Damon Runyon-esque comparisons to your work, do you find those to be A, complimentary, and B, accurate?
Most people who compliment me do it in sort of a backhanded way, and I think this is true with most sports writers. They say, Frank, that was really, really good writing, which I appreciated, but then they say, you know, it was so good, it wasn't really sports writing. In other words, it's impossible for sports writing to be any good. So if it is good, it must be something else. But I understand that people are really being sweet, so I just accept it in the way that it's proffered.
Well, you know, Kurt Vonnegut once told me that he felt that he never received all the awards and the sort of Academy approval because he had what he referred to as a shabby pedigree. Does being a sports writer, do you think, naturally give you a shabby pedigree?
I think Vonnegut says it perfectly. I mean, he was a comic writer, and I'm a sports writer, but I think we're pretty much lumped together. It's the same way as in the movies when people are nominated for Academy Awards. The funny roles, which are often the hardest ones to act, are the ones that never get nominated. You know, you've got to cry and moan and groan. Then you're an actor. And if somebody's, you know, the famous line when an actor was on his deathbed and he said, "Dying is easy, comedy is hard." Well, It's the same way with sports writing. We don't get the respect we're due, but, you know, nobody made me do this. Okay? And I've had an awful lot of fun, and I hope I brought that out in overtime.
Absolutely. You know, you tell the story in the book about you're at Sports Illustrated, and everybody refers to you as the kid, and you're the kid. But my God, the opportunities you were given of being that kid.
It was the luckiest thing in the world. I stumbled onto a world where, first of all, David Halberstam said it was the golden age of magazines,
right.
And it was. This was the 1960s and 70s. Secondly, I walk into Sports Illustrated when nobody wants to cover basketball, which is just a kind of a small sport, right? So I got an opportunity at a very young age, 24, 25 years old, to be the basketball writer at America Sports Weekly. People don't luck into those kind of things very often.
And you talk in the book about, I mean, people that you quote-unquote discovered, but one of them actually who I'm interviewing today is Bill Bradley.
Well, I've told Bill this often through the years. I should say I've told the senator this through the years. That when I was a senior at Princeton and he was a freshman, in those days freshmen couldn't play varsity basketball. And so here's Bill Bradley, who nobody knows, playing against Brown in Columbia and people like that. And nobody in America knows how good this guy is. I go off to Sports Illustrated and I say, hey, you guys ought to know, the best sophomore in the country is this kid at Princeton. They all laughed at me, naturally, you know, like I'm the proud alumnus. Well, they finally gave me a chance. They threw me a bone. Let me do a story on him. And Bradley turned out to be even better than I thought that he was, and everybody thought that I was a genius. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time when Senator Bradley came along as a basketball player.
What do you make of the NBA today, of how it's covered and how fans respond to it?
Well, the problem with the NBA in my mind, and I always try not to be the guy, because I saw it when I was the kid, who says it was always better in my day, right?
Right.
But I think the players are almost too good today for the game. And they can do so much. They're such great athletes. And so the team play, I think, has suffered. I love watching, like, the San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan and Manola Ginobili and Parker. I like a team game. And somebody like Kobe Bryant, somebody like LeBron James, it's not their fault, but they're just so good. And that's why I look back on the good old days with a lot more affection. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just an old man, you know, dreaming of the women were prettier and the songs were sweeter. But that's the way I see it.
But and then obviously opinions that you've had, even in the good old days, I mean, you write in the book about this, and there's actually a hilarious picture about soccer, of saying that this is not the most entertaining sport in the world to watch. And there's a picture in the book where the soccer fans are there and they're holding up a big banner that says DeFord is clueless. And you note in the book that the end score of that game was 1-0. After 3 hours.
1-0.
Yes.
I just have never understood why soccer is so popular around the world. And I think the fact that we don't go crazy about soccer in this country is obviously because we think the other sports are more entertaining. There's no conspiracy. Nobody's making us watch football and basketball and baseball. I think soccer works. It's a wonderful game because it's so cheap to play. And so everybody plays it everywhere in the world. I mean, I've seen it played in the poorest parts on the globe. But I don't think it's a very good game. But I can't argue with the fact that billions of other people do. And the soccer people get very mad at me for pointing this out. But I'm sorry. I can't help it. And there's no question in my mind, though, that soccer is as popular as it is, but I also don't think it's ever going to get anywhere in the United States. I mean, it's kind of a nice little niche. People get weaned by soccer mothers, right? Soccer moms. Then they choose other sports to amuse themselves. So explain that to me, soccer fans.
I was, you know, I was reading your book as I was watching the Kentucky Derby this weekend, and an event referred to as the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. And I was curious as to what you thought and what you think about the state of horse racing.
That's fascinating. You go back to 100 years ago, and the three most popular sports in the United States were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And only one of the three remains in the top echelon. And baseball, of course, is not as popular as it used to be. Boxing has all but disappeared. Racing only works where you have slot machines. I think the reason that horse racing has fallen off is that we don't grow up around horses anymore. And it's easier to bet football. It's easier to bet other games. You don't have to sit there for a half hour at the racetrack. I happen to think that the panoply of racing, the glamour. I happen to love it, and I watch the Derby with a great deal of interest. And I have a special story because my daughter-in-law is 8.5 months pregnant, so she bet I'll have another. So So we scored big in the DeFord family on Saturday, but you can't count on that very often.
Well, you know, and one of the things that I find exciting about that is who knows what's going to happen over the next few weeks at Pimlico and at Belmont, but we have a chance right now, a chance of a Triple Crown winner, and that is exciting. The odds of it are astronomic, of it happening, but it's possible.
It's going to happen sometime, and Chick Lang, who used to run Pimlico, said the one thing that they always have at the Preakness, which they don't have at the Derby, is that he said, we have the Derby winner, which is, in this case, I'll Have Another. So you have the chance, and I'll be rooting for I'll Have Another simply because I'd love to see a Triple Crown champion. And then if he goes on to the Belmont, that will capture the country's interest once again. It takes that kind of special thing to bring you into, to take you away from the team sports, just like Tiger Woods made people more interested in golf. Tennis now has those three great champions, Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. So individual sports always require a great champion to drag people away from team sports, where you have such a tremendous allegiance that's built up from the time you're a child. Actually, tell you the truth, it's more fun as a writer writing about individual sports because you can concentrate more on the one guy. A team sport is a harder thing to write about. You've got to bring in all the dynamics, and there's more than one hero. That's why there's so many boxing movies, even though nobody goes to boxing matches anymore, because it creates such wonderful drama to tell a story.
The name of the book is Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer. Frank, we're out of time, but man, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I've loved it.
Thank you very much, Frank. Again, Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer, published by Atlantic.